When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one heard them speaking in the native language of their birth. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own languages we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heavens above, and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness, and the moon to blood, before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Well, that was the most difficult passage of scripture I've ever read. And actually, it's the most difficult passage of anything I've ever read, period.
I know, actually, that's something that the lay reader says every year at Pentecost. And to be honest with you, it's the most difficult thing I've ever read out loud myself. Mm-hmm.
So why read it? How do all these strange names, place names, edify us? You can't pronounce those names, and we'll forget them as soon as the sermon is done, probably sooner.
We have to read them because they're in the Bible. Today is Pentecost. This is a story of Pentecost from the Bible, which we read because we're Christians.
Yeah, you just made a lot of assumptions there. This is Montclair Presbyterian Church. But even so, I say the place names don't make any difference to the Pentecost story, at least not to me.
But they're part of the story. They're in the Bible.
So what? Lots of things are in the Bible. The Bible has a story about God killing children because they mocked a prophet's bald head. I bet you never heard that in church.
How is that even the same thing? I don't saying I want to hear sermons about a violent God any more than you do. I'm just saying that we should hear exotic names of far-off places read out loud in church, at least on Pentecost, when they're a part of the story.
But see, that's part of the problem. These names are exotic and far off. Hearing them read is just another reminder that Christianity is something foreign, a set of beliefs empires and slaveholders impose on folks who might otherwise like to go on worshiping as their ancestors worshiped. And that makes Christianity violent. It has caused death in the name of a God who seems entirely foreign to me when Bible stories with unpronounceable names are read in church.
Well, by using that logic, could you not condemn the whole Pentecost story? I mean, this is a story about going out and converting people who, as you say, might otherwise like to go on worshiping as their ancestors did.
Good point. I'd be happy to do away with Pentecost altogether.
Mm-hmm. Hold on a minute. I like Pentecost.
And so do I.
No one asked you, Dad.
I'd be willing to bet that no one has ever been able to pronounce all of the names of places in the Pentecost story.
That's impossible. Why would anyone, especially someone writing the Bible, write a story using names that they couldn't pronounce?
Well, if the author couldn't pronounce the words, then how could those words be used to establish hierarchies of power in the church?
Well, two things. First of all, I don't think the folks who wrote the Bible spoke the languages of all of the places mentioned in the story.
What language did they speak?
Well, that's a question for someone with a PhD. David?
That's hard.
Most of the people in the story, because the characters in the story would have spoken Aramaic. And the author of the book of Acts at least knew enough Greek to speak Greek.
Fair enough. But the story speaks of everyone hearing the message in the language of their birth, which means more than Aramaic and Greek. I don't know where all those places are, but I imagine the person who wrote the book of Acts might have mispronounced them as badly as I just did, at least at first. The author could have chosen to list names of places that were easier to pronounce, but he chose to challenge himself to learn new place names.
And maybe that's the point. Maybe we all need to learn how to pronounce and the names of places where people are from, because not pronouncing a place name is like not pronouncing a person's name. If you mispronounce a person's name, that person can feel teased or made fun of. If you mispronounce a place name, the people there that live there feel like yokels. I mean, think about it. We Californians can't even pronounce the names of places in California. We pronounce Santa Cruz like we're describing St. Nick, heading up Pacific Avenue in a 67 convertible, listening to the Beach Boys.
Oh, come on. It's not like your average surfer says Santa Cruz. Like he's Edward James Olmos or something. Heck, your average surfer probably gets out of the water at Steamers and picks up an order of nachos from a food truck, washes it down with a Corona Light, and calls that an authentic Mexican meal. I agree we should pronounce Spanish names properly, but as long as we're talking about the importance of learning place names, we should consider calling Santa Cruz Chatumu. That's what the Waswas Ohlone people called the place, and we should too.
On that point, you'll get no argument from me.
Or from me. Learning place names is a good way of learning the history of the people. We should know, for example, that Temescal Creek, which is just outside the door of this sanctuary, is named Temescal because the Ohlone people built sweat lodges along the banks of the Temescal Creek. And Temescal is the Aztec word for sweat lodge.
What is the Ohlone word for sweat lodge?
Apparently none of the Spanish conquistadors ever bothered to ask the Ohlone what the word was. They just borrowed a word that they knew from much farther south.
Exactly, and that is an important bit of history for us to know. We should know also that Oakland is a more or less direct translation of El Encinal, which is Spanish for, well, oak land, or at least places with lots of scrub oak. And Alameda means place with lots of poplar trees. But I guess Poplar Land County doesn't sound nearly as nice as Alameda County.
And California is derived from an Arabic word, caliph, which is a Muslim ruler. The name comes from a Spanish legend about a great queen named Khalifa. I'd like to learn more about that.
Me too, but I feel like we've come a long way from Pentecost. Can we get back to the Bible on the Christian Holy Day?
Pentecost reminds us that the Holy Spirit doesn't belong to a particular language or country or people. The divine can be found in every place, and people from every place have something to teach us about God's love. Our job is to listen and to respect the witness of those whose homes are far from ours and whose languages are different from our own.
Respect, yes. That means a fundamental change in how Christianity has been practiced over the years by those in power. They've used our faith to justify war and to subjugate folks who might challenge empire and patriarchy and racism.
Amen. And if we're going to change that, it's going to take a lot of work, a lot of effort. We're going to need spiritual food and sustenance. We need the Holy Spirit. We need to listen as she speaks through the voices of people who live in places whose names that are hard to pronounce.
Then, long live Pentecost and long live the Holy Spirit, who fills our hearts with a fiery passion. Ben, do you have anything to say?
Only this. For the word of God that is written, for the word of God that is within us, for the word of God that is round about us, we give thanks to God. Amen. Our hymn of response is number 285, Like the Murmur of the Dove Song. If you are able, I invite you to stand.